Okay, good evening. Tonight is Leil Hoshana Rabbah. It's the seventh day of going into the seventh day of Sukkot, and it's this unique day. We refer to it this last day of Sukkot as Hoshana Rabbah, and there's many customs associated with the day. One interesting custom is that people have a will greet one another, wishing them a guten kvittel, or a pitka tova. You should have a good edict, which is a strange expression to offer someone. And this is based upon the Zohar, which teaches us that although our fate is sealed for the upcoming year on Yom Kippur, nonetheless, the verdict, that final verdict, that seal, is not delivered on some level to the heavenly throne until this final day of Sukkot, of Hoshana Rabbah, and therefore we wish one another, again, this guten kvittel, a pitka tova, you should have a good note, that note that's going to be delivered tomorrow on this final day, it should say something good about you for the upcoming year. And the question I'd like to address this evening is, what is that all about? Now, what is it about this seventh day of Sukkot? I thought that the final judgment was on Yom Kippur. We're written, the verdict is written on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Tzom Kippur, Yechaseimo, and it's sealed on Yom Kippur. What is this extension that the Zohar mentions, that somehow the mail service in Shemayim seems to be a little slow, and it doesn't arrive until, I don't know who the president is up there, who's playing games with the delivery system. Somehow it waits until this final day of Sukkot. So I like to, that's a broader question I'd like to deal with. And then specifically, what exactly is this day? Because, if I would be a biblical Jew, if I'd be a Jew, a Sadducee that read the Torah literally, I never would have heard of anything unique about the seventh day of Sukkot. Yeah, the Torah is very clear. We read the first 2 days of Sukkot in Parshas Emor, the Parshas Mo'adim. It tells us about the holiday of Sukkot. The holiday begins on the 15th day of Tishrei. Chag HaSukkot Shivas Yomim, and it's a seven-day-long holiday. It's a holiday that lasts 7 days and doesn't say anything specific about anything unique about the seventh day. In the Torah reading for Shemini Atzeres, from Parshas Re'eh, again mentions that this holiday of Sukkot, you should make Tasa L'cha Shivas Yamim for 7 days. The Maftir reading on throughout Sukkot, we read from Parshas Pinchas, again Chamisha Asar Yom L'chodesh Hashvi Mikra Kozhi Alachah, the 15th day of the month is this special holiday. Chag L'Hashem Shivas Yamim, a 7 day holiday. And then we know the Torah then talks about an 8th day, which we call Shemini Atzeres, which is a totally separate holiday, nothing to do on the surface with Sukkot itself, but that's the 8th day. And no mention about anything unique about a 7th day. Now, what is something of interesting, something to think about, is that we know Pesach is also in the Torah as a 7 day holiday, and there is something unique about the 7th day. The 7th day is a Yontif like the first day. Here with Sukkot, a 7 day holiday, you only have a Yontif the first day, according to the Torah. And then you have this separate holiday on the 8th day. So, something seems to be missing with the 7th day on Sukkot as opposed to Pesach. But again, nothing explicit is mentioned in the Torah about the 7th day, other than it's another day of Sukkot, another day that we eat in the Sukkah, another day that we know we take Lulav and Esrog, Hadassah and Aravos. But that's about it. All of a sudden, and I'll just jump now to those who codified the halacha, the Torah, for example. The Torah tells us, "B'yom chamishi shachol ha'moed," the 5th day of Chol ha'moed, right? So, and the Torah lived outside of Israel, so you have your first 2 days of Yontif, and then you have your 5 days of 4 days Chol ha'moed, and the 5th day, right? Now, so the 7th day of the holiday. Hoshana Rabbah. This day is called Hoshana Rabbah. Noagim Shemarbim b'Mizmorim, and the custom is that we say many additional Mizmori Tehillim. chapters of Psalms, like on Yontif, which in other words, we extend, we elongate the Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra is somewhat short on a regular weekday, or even on a regular Chol HaMoed. We know on Shabbos and Yontif, we add a whole bunch of additional Mizmorim, Tehillim, to the Psukei Dezimra. So that you should do, says the Torah, on the seventh day of Sukkot. The Omrim Kiddush Rabbah ben Musaf. In Musaf, we say the long Shabbos Yontif Kedusha, right? On Chol HaMoed, regular Chol HaMoed, we just say a standard Kedusha, like we do any other day of the year. But all of a sudden comes Hoshana Rabbah. We have the long Kedusha that we recite on Shabbos and Yontif during Musaf. Umarbim Ksas ben Neiros Kmo b'Yom HaKippurim. And you should have additional lights in the shul and additional lights, I guess maybe even in one's home, like on Yom Kippur, to give it a Yontif, a Yom Kippur atmosphere. That's the tour. Then the Shulchan Aruch, the Yom Shvi Shu Hoshana Rabba, Nogel Haros B'Mizmorim. He says the same thing. We say this longer Psuki Dezimra. And then the Ramah tells us the following. The Omrim, and just more things we do. The Omrim Ein Kamocha. Before we take out the Torah, all of a sudden it's going to turn into Shabbos. We say Ein Kamocha, which we don't say on a regular weekday. We don't say on Chol HaMoed. Shema Yisrael, which is something, again, we only say on a Shabbos and Yontif. Mop Yontif. The Omrim, and furthermore, we Kaddish, La'achar Tfilas Musaf, the Kaddish that's recited following Musaf, the Nigin Yontif. You do it with a special a sing-song, like on Yontif. Ein Regil Lasos Malacha, Shalchol, Arachi Yetzias Mibes HaKnesses. You shouldn't really do malacha, any work, until after you leave shul. And then a little bit later on, V'yishnogim Lilbo Shakittel. Some people wear a kittel on, wow, kittel, that's Yom Kippur. Some people wear a kittel on the Hoshana Rabbah. Mr. Brewer says, our custom is to wear Shabbos clothing. The cousin wears the kittel. And then the Mishnah Brewer gives an additional custom. Nogim Yisrael Lahios Ne'urim B'Leila Rava. That's some people stay up all night tonight, right? Some we're learning, we're having a shiur, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes or so, we have a shiur. Some people, the entire night, they're going to be awake learning Torah. It sounds like Shavuot all of a sudden. So it's like Shavuot, it's Yom Kippur, it's Shabbos, it's Yontif. So like, where did this come from? Right? Again, we saw the Torah makes no special mention about this seventh day of Sukkot, and all of a sudden we have the Zohar that says that in Shemayim the verdict, although our verdict was sealed on Yom Kippur, it's not delivered until the Hoshana Rabbah, and now we see the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch about making it into a special Yontif, davening and wearing a kittel and spending all night learning Torah. What's this all about? So already the Mishnah, Maseches Sukkah, tells us that there is something unique about this seventh day of Sukkot. This is Perek, the fourth Perek of Lulav Arava. This is Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis 42b. The Mishnah begins and says Lulav Arava Shisha V'Shiva, taking the lulav. It's talking about the Beis Hamikdash, taking the lulav, and also taking the aravos, the willow branches. Depending upon the year, sometimes it's done for 6 days in the Beis HaMikdash, and sometimes it's done for 7 days. So the Mishnah, what are we talking about? Lulav Shiva Kates. What do you mean, Lulav 7 days? Yanta Farishon Shachag Shachalios B'Shabbos. Let's say like this year, the first day of Yontif, of Sukkot, fell on Shabbos. So we know we didn't take Lulav and Esrog. But in the Beis HaMikdash, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, when the first day coincided with Shabbos, they took lulav, even though it was Shabbos. Yeah, the Torah says b'yom harishon. We don't make exceptions for Shabbos. Is there perhaps a rabbinic reason why we don't take it on Shabbos? Because of a concern, you might come to carry it, to bring it to someone to teach you how to say the bracha, to wave it. But in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't make that edict. Even when the first day coincided with Shabbos, they still took a lulav. If other days have coincided with Shabbos, they didn't take the lulav. If it fell on some other day of Sukkot, but on the first day was Shabbos, so therefore that year, would like, and like this year, in the Beis Hamikdash, the entire week of Sukkot, every single day, for 7 days, they took lulav. Some years will only be 6 days. Some years, again, Shabbos would fall out in the middle of the week, and that day, when it fell in the middle of the week, even in the Beis Hamikdash, they wouldn't take lulav and esrog. Okay. Arava. Now the, here's the key part. The willow branch. Shiva. The willow branch, and we're going to see separately, this, but there's a, we know that there's an arava, a willow branch, that's a part of the, one of the dalamina, one of the four species of the lulav, esrog, hadas, and aravos. But in addition to that, another willow branch, and this you may never have heard of before, and all of a sudden, says the Mishnah, there's a separate willow branch that is taken. Again, we're talking about in the Beis Hamikdash, that says the Mishnah, Shiva, it can also be taken for all 7 days. Ketzad, how so? Yom HaShvi, let's say the seventh day. Again, here's our key. The seventh day of Sukkot, let's say it fell out on Shabbos. Arava Shiva, they would take the willow branch on that Shabbos as well, on the seventh day. Now, they wouldn't take lulav on the seventh day with Shabbos, but the seventh day with Shabbos, they would take the willow branch. Vishar kol yamim shisha. But if the Shabbos fell out on the first day or any other day, besides the seventh day, they wouldn't take the willow branch. So in those years, they only would take the willow branch for six days. Now, what's going on here? So immediately Rashi tells us, lulav arava, shehem b'migdash. In the base of migdash, kol shiva lulav natila, that they would take the lulav, varava l'hakif, and they would walk around with the willow branch, with the arava, walk around the mizbeach. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Amar Rabbi Yona says, Ksiv, quotes a pasuk Yeshayahu, V'osi yom yom yidrushun. God says, day by day I will seek you. So what do you mean day? It says the word day two times. Zutkia, this refers to the Kia, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the arava, and the willow branch, and explains the commentary on the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Korban Aida. Vosi yom yom yidushun v'chi b'yom darshin b'layla in darshin. What do you mean? Only during the day we seek God. We don't seek God at night. Ella, no. What is this verse referring to? Shnei yomim b'shan. There are 2 days of the year. Hakol darshis Hashem. Everyone seeks God 2 days of the year. What are the 2 days of the year that we seek God? I would say, maybe Yom Kippur is one of the days. The other day, Rosh Hashanah, or maybe Seder night, right? The two holiest night, that, you know, Pesach. I don't know, Shavuos, Matan Torah. What are the 2 days that says the Gemara that we seek God? Be gedol makatanim, from old to young, everyone. Came Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah. This is the day of Rosh Hashanah. That's one day that we seek God. The Yom Zion Shal Arava. And the seventh day of Sukkot. The seventh day when we take this willow branch. Shakol Shomim Tkiya Shofar. Who doesn't come to Shul, unless it's COVID, who doesn't come to Shul in Rosh Hashanah? What Jew doesn't come to Shul in Rosh Hashanah? Every Jew comes to Shul in Rosh Hashanah in a regular year. Why? To hear Shofar. Of course, Shul's fact. And every single Jew comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Now, it happens to be, you know, I think most Jews got the message from Rosh Hashanah, but I don't think they got the message from Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, because there is a bigger crowd in Shul on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah than there usually is on the rest of Chol HaMoed, but it ain't like, not like Rosh Hashanah. But it should be. It should be. Everyone comes to Shul Rosh Hashanah here, Shofar, Bakol Notlin HaRavah, and everyone comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah for what? To take the arava, to take the willow. Again, it still begs the question, what is this willow? What is this? Again, I know about a willow branch in my lulav, and that's like hadassim. What's the second willow branch? Again, what's so unique about this seventh day? So back to the Gemara in Misachas Sukkah, the Gemara tries to fill in a little more information. Amar Azvid Mishmei Darava, lulav darais avdinan shiva zeich lemigdash. The lulav, which is set, which is a biblical commandment, take lulav and esrog. and it used to be in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the only place where they took Lulav and Esrog all 7 days was in the Beis HaMikdash, and perhaps in the city of Yerushalayim. But everywhere else, they only took Lulav and Esrog. If you're living in Tel Aviv, if you're in Beit Shemesh, you're in Modi'in, you only took Lulav and Esrog on the first day. Only on the first day, the Torah says, B'yom HaRishon, on the first day. Yeah, we have a tradition, the Beis HaMikdash was all 7 days. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, to remember the Beis HaMikdash, we now take Lulav and Esrog, again, except for Shabbos, all 7 days. It says, Rav Zvid, the name of Rava, but the Arava, which is, he says, is only rabbinic, it's only a rabbinic requirement to take this separate willow branch. Law of Dinan Shiva, we don't take it for 7 days to Zeichel Mikdash. So the Gemara immediately asks, what do you mean it's only rabbinic to take the willow branch? Laman. Now, I would say, of course it's only rabbinic, because we saw the Torah makes no mention, ostensibly, of the seventh day, of anything unique, about a separate willow branch that you take. But the Gemara says, no, that's not correct. When the pasuk talks about taking the willow branch, it says it in the plural, arve nachal, like willow branches. And says Abishol, why is it written in the plural? Achas luluv, to tell me that, yeah, I need to take willow branches with my lulav, but also achas lemigdash. But also I take a separate willow branch in a special ceremony in the Beis HaMikdash, where I only have the willow branch and the willow branch alone, all by itself. That's one approach. Or Ila Rabbanan Hilchos HaGemirah. No, it's not written in the Torah anywhere. It's all illusion. But we have a tradition back to Sinai, that there's a special, unique ceremony that would take place in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would do something with only a willow branch. And the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, I'll end it here. So all of a sudden, the Gemara assumes that there's actually a biblical requirement to take this willow branch. And the Gemara has done a debate, like who instituted this? Like, who instituted this? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Yeshua ben Levi, Chad Amar Arva Yisod Neviim. Some say that the prophets said we must do this. Yisod Neviim. Which prophets? Rashi tells us, Chagai Zachariah Malachi, the last of the prophets, beginning of the Second Temple period. They said we must do this. Chad Amar, another opinion says, Arva Minhagivim. No, they didn't say you have to do it. It just became a custom during the time of the prophets to take this willow branch. What's the difference, Rashi says, whether it was instituted, whether it was a custom? The difference is, you say a brach on it. If it was instituted, it's a rabbinic law, you say a brach on it. If it's just a custom, then perhaps you wouldn't say a brach on it. Now, what exactly did they do with this willow branch? So now the Mishnah speaks. Again, we're still like trying to figure this out. It still seems to be not so clear. There's something about a willow branch. Sounds like it's taken all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, separate to the lulav and esrog, hadassim and aravos. And then there's something unique about the seventh day, that even that seventh day coincided with Shabbos. The Beis HaMikdash, it still will take this willow branch. So now the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei tells us the following: Mitzvah Sarava Ketza. What exactly is this mitzvah of the willow branch? So we're told, Makom Haya Lamatam Yerushalayim. There was some place low in the valley outside of Yerushalayim. The Nikra Motza was called Motza. Yardim Masham, they would go down there. The messengers of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Kohanim would go down there. Balakdim Misham Morviosha Arava. And they would gather together a lot of willow branches. Right? Willow branches off usually grow, you know, near a nachal, some sort of stream, some sort of river. It requires an abundance of rain. And in Israel, there's not a lot of rain. So it's most likely that you're going to find willow branches near a stream of water, which tends to be not the case, let's say, here in America. My son, David, who's now 19, I think about 8, 9, 10 years ago, 1 year after Sukkot, he took a couple of our leftover willow branches from our lulavim, and he decided to plant them in the backyard. And two of them took root. You then moved one closer to the other. And today you come to look in my backyard. We have this massive tree. Massive tree. It's not, there's no river next to it, but there's massive willow. I thank God it's far away from the house because I hear the roots are horrible and they can destroy piping. So don't tell my neighbor behind it because he has a pool on the other side. So I hope it doesn't affect his pool. But in any event, it's been growing there for about 10 years. And again, it just multiplies. Like every year it gets larger and larger. And because there's a lot of rain, you know, obviously here in America, in our climate here in Michigan, but we don't have, you know, it grows even not by a stream of water, but apparently in Israel and Yerushalayim, they had this ota, must have been some stream there. They would gather together these willow branches, ubayim, then they would bring them to back to the base of Migdash, the zokfino sobetidia mizbeach, and they would take these willow branches and lean them against the altar. At the altar where they would bring sacrifices, they would lean these willow branches against the altar. V'rasheim kfuf in agabi esbeach, and these things were so tall that these branches that they would actually go beyond the top of the altar. And the altar was, the Gemara is going to say this, the mizbeach was 10 amos tall, about 15 feet tall, and these branches would extend above that. Now, when I first learned this Gemara, I thought that's what, 16 feet taller, 15 and a half feet tall willow branches. I thought that was absurd because the willow branches that you have in your, when you go to the store and you buy your aravos or your lulav, you know, I don't know, they're a foot and a half, whatever tall, whatever it is. But everything changed when my son planted his willow tree. They really do grow that tall. If you keep let them growing, you don't trim them. So imagine the base of Migdash, they would decorate the altar with these huge willow branches. It would extend over and above beyond the height of the altar. And then, so connecting back to Rosh Hashanah, what would they do next? Taku harbiu v'takati kataku. They would blow shofar. They would blow the shofar. B'chol yom. And every day, not just Hoshana Ram, but every day, makifin es ha-mizbeach pamachas. They would circle the mizbeach one time. And the Gemara is a whole discussion. I can go through all the details now. What would they circle? Would they circle the altar with the lulav, which is our custom nowadays? We day Hoshanas, we circle the bima with our lulav and esrog, adas and aravos. Or no, they would actually circle the altar with the aravos. They would be holding just a single arava and circle the altar. But omim, what would they say as they would circle the altar? Familiar words, ana Hashem Oshiana. Ana Hashem Atzlichana, right from Tehillim. Yudah Omer Aniva Ho Hoshiana. This is very mystical. There's a lot of depth as to what is Aniva Ho. It symbolizes perhaps God's 72-letter name, abbreviated for it. V'Oso Yom, but then that day, Rosh is meaning the seventh day. Again, every day they would, it sounds like they would circle the altar. Every day they'd place their revels against the altar. They would say, they would blow shofar, ana Hashem Hoshiana, ana Hashem Hatzlichana, ana Aniv Hoshiana. But on the seventh day, akifin es hamizbeach sheva pamim, seven times, they would circle the altar on the seventh day. And again, did they circle seven times with the lulav and esrog, hadasim and aravos, or only with the aravos? And that's the debate. The Gemara and Daf Mem Gimel, again, did they walk around with the arava, or they just placed their arava against the altar? Okay, then the Gemara says, one second. The Gemara then says, okay, I'm gonna go. The Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel again has this lengthy discussion about what exactly was taken, the lulav or the aravos. Okay, so let's try to put this all together. Right. What exactly is going on here? So we know that the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that on Chag, on the holiday of Sukkot, Yidon al Mayim, that the world is judged for water. Right? How much rain the world is going to receive, and we know, especially in Israel, how critical the water is. The rainy season. We don't want, of course, to rain on Sukkot, but right after Sukkot, and we know in Shemini Atzeres, we pray for rain, feel Geshem, we begin to say Masha Baruch, Morid HaGeshem. In Israel, 2 weeks after Sukkot, they already start saying the same Tal Matal Yivracha, and the Shimon Esrei. The Gemara says really they should say the day after Sukkot, but they wait a couple weeks so that the people who came from Bavel, from Babylonia, for the holiday to be Olah Rego, they would get back without bad weather, inclement weather, and wouldn't shouldn't the roads be made up of mud and dirt, and the rain could obviously be detrimental to travel, so they would wait. But as soon as everyone was back safely home, they immediately would pray for rain. Again, in Israel, the rainy season is exclusively after Sukkot, so a little to a little bit before Pesach. And if it doesn't rain, you're in big trouble. Your crops aren't going to grow. You're not going to have drinking water. A couple of years ago in Israel, there were these terrible fires because things were so dry. So rain is critical, and we see that these aravos, right? They grow where the water is. So the aravos symbolize water. The aravos are only going to grow if there's rain, if the streams are flowing, because there's been a healthy rainy season. So it's again, imagine living in Israel. Even till recent times, or even modern times, it's so important that it rains. Your life depends upon it. And so this would be a time of fervent prayer of tefillah, and if you see some of the lengthy davening that we engage in on Hoshana Rabbah. At the part in Shul, where we actually do take the aravos in our hands nowadays, our custom today is that we circle seven times, but with the lulav and esrog, and only afterwards we take the aravos, the willow branches. A lot of the prayers are about rain. We're asking Hashem for that there should be rain during the upcoming rainy season. So there's this element of judgment, right? That the Mishnah introduces. That we're judged at this time. The world is judged for rain and for water. And it's interesting. The Gemara also mentions, and there's a lot of further discussion about this. Those who've come to Shul on Hoshana Rabbah and all the kids, it's their favorite part. And it's also some of the adults. It's also their favorite part. We our custom is we actually take five willow branches. Most people take five. You don't have to. You take one is enough. Some say take three. Our custom is when you take five together, you hold on to it, and then at the end we beat it at the ground, right? The kids, they try to beat it. Again, some adults try to beat it to get every single leaf off of it. And it's such a strange thing. What are you beating a branch to the ground? So some say, it's not 100% clear why we do it, but some suggest it's sort of like a symbolically that you want the rain to come down, right? To hit the ground, to penetrate the ground. That's why you're... beating the arava toward the ground. But in addition to all of that, just want to conclude by suggesting that a part of the meaning of this day. And again, back to my original question: what's this idea in the Zohar that we wish people a good and kvittel, a pitva tova, that you should have on Hoshana Rabbah that the note you should have a good note. That note in heaven that has your decree should be delivered and should say something positive about you for the upcoming year. So what I think what's going on here and what the significance of Hoshana Rabbah is all about, that this is the end of Sukkot. This is the final day of the holiday of Sukkot. And what we did leading up to Yom Kippur, what we were supposed to do, but the mitzvah for us to engage in, according to Rambam says this explicitly, the Rabbeinu Yonah, is to engage in teshuvah, to engage in repentance, and part of the process of repentance is not only to feel bad about the past and to confess one's sins, but it's to commit to making changes. Kabbalah Asid, to saying, this is what I need to work on for this upcoming year. So you come before God, and you're davening and you're doing teshuva and you're saying vidoy and you're so sincere on Yom Kippur, and Hashem likes what he hears, hopefully. We feel confident Hashem likes what he hears, and the fate is sealed. But perhaps the delivery system in up in Shemayim is not slow, by accident or because of incompetence, but it's intentionally slow. That note is not delivered to the tribunal in heaven because they want to wait and see if we're serious about what we did leading up to Yom Kippur. Right? Are we going to make good on our promises and our commitments? Are we going to make changes? And what's so beautiful is that we immediately have a holiday to express our commitment to Hashem. We immediately have a sukkah where we go out to the we leave our homes and we go out to the tents and we feel God's protection all around us. We're vulnerable, but we feel a connection. And the question is, what are we going to do over Sukkot? Are we going to take it seriously? Are we going to be shaking that lulav and asukah dasim and arevos? Are we going to be living in our sukkah? How are we going to be interacting with other people in an unusual year where we can get together with other people? Is what we said and what we did and the commitments that we made on Yom Kippur, are they going to come to fruition? How are they going to play themselves out? And therefore, we have this entire holiday of Sukkot to really make sure and make certain that we're going to take those commitments seriously. And then comes the last day of the Yontif, and now's the time to deliver the note. And the question is are they going to deliver the note? Are they going to see that we really made those changes and those corrections? And therefore, this final day, we put on the kittel. We have a long, we have a yontif. It's a very long davening, Hoshana Rabbah. It's like coming to shul on Shmini Atzeres. It's a long davening, and we take that arava in our hand. And the arava really symbolizes the vulnerability. And the arava can't grow without the water, right? So it's like, oh, we can't grow without Hashem's blessings. Right, just like the Rava needs the rain, so we need God's we need Hashem to accept the note. We need Hashem to say, okay, you're gonna have another year and a year of blessing, a year of joy, and that your prayers and your wishes are going to be accepted. So I think that this is really the power of Hoshana Rabbah, and as the Gemara says, it's this is this halacha l'moshe Sinai, just this tradition that we have that teaches us about this holiday, or that it's alluded to in the Torah itself about the arve nachal, about the additional arava, the willow that is taken. But you have to like tap into it, because it's not explicit, because it's really something that we have to want. It's something that we have to really show that we're sincere. It's easy to make promises. It's easily in the height of Yom Kippur, as Yom Kippur comes to a close during the Elah, and we feel so connected, and we feel the power of normal years with the tzibur davening together, and the recitation of Avinu Malkeinu and Shema Yisrael and Hashem Elokim. At that moment, who doesn't feel connected? Who doesn't want to do what Hashem wants and fulfill everything that Hashem asked from us? But as soon as the Yom Kippur concludes and we break our fast, so is it goodbye Hashem, or had a good day and moving on, or am I going to take something with me? And Hashem says, okay, let's see. Here's the holiday of Sukkot. Let's see what you're going to do. And hopefully we've made the most of the Chag. And therefore tonight and tomorrow, this Hoshana Rabbah, that Hashem indeed will be pleased with our actions and with our deeds, with what we have done since Yom Kippur, and that ultimately he'll accept that pitka tova, he'll accept that note, and indeed will be inscribed and for a year of only of blessings and of our prayers will be answered. And it'll be accepted not only based upon God's mercy, but because we have shown that we're deserving of it. That we've taken this time seriously. And perhaps I'll just end, and maybe that explains the custom that tonight may, some people stay up all night learning Torah, because it's the last chance. So make it work. Make it, if it hasn't been going so well this holiday, tonight's the final chance, because tomorrow then you come to shul and you got to then, you know, hope that Hashem is going to accept it. So again, hopefully we've made the most of it. And hopefully as this Yontif draws to a conclusion, this holiday of Sukkot, we indeed the node in heaven with that inscribed fate will be one that will be a positive one, and one that will be accepted on high. Everyone should have a Pikatova. Everyone should have a good and a Kvittel.